The text for our sermon this morning is from our gospel reading, and it's in the bold print in your folder. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to imagine it's Tuesday already. Yes, you got to bypass Monday. You can say thank you. It's Tuesday. It's 99 degrees outside. You had finished doing some work outside, and you're saying, I am not going out the rest of the day. So you go into the house, and you turn on a movie. Have you ever felt like that on a rainy day even? You go in and you want to watch a good movie, so you're flipping through the channels. And you come across these corny, fake, unreal movies, but they're good. They're good, okay? The one I can always remember and I always like to go to, it's called Enemy Mine. It was a terrible movie, but it was great. The first scene was almost like Star Wars. You have these two spaceships, they're fighting. Next thing you know, this Dak lizard human-like creature and a human are landed on a planet. And they're enemies. After all, they just shot each other out of space. And they're on this planet. And they do not like each other. Well, eventually in time, they learn that in order to survive, they're going to have to become friends. They're going to have to rely on each other. They're going to have to realize they cannot do for themselves what together they could do. So at the end of the movie, you know, naturally it gets really weird. This lizard-like creature becomes pregnant by herself, whatever. And he dies. And this human has to try to get this little lizard-like baby to its planet so it will survive. And it's a great movie, just the love and the passion this man has for this person, thing that's so much different than him. That he goes about doing anything possible to help. Well, here we are today. We're hearing God's word. And we know that in the church year, the calendar starts a little different than our calendar, doesn't it? The church year starts with Advent. And we're so looking towards Christ returning, and we start looking back at his birth, and then we go into the festive season of Christmas, and then we go into Transfiguration Sunday, and then we go into Lent, and it's all this festive time, the first half of the year. Heck, I even come here at the 4 o'clock service because I enjoy music and everything here. I enjoy seeing the people I haven't seen for a while. And then I go do a sermon at 7 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night. And as we look at this, here we are, the first week after all the festivities. We just went through the Easter season, where the gospel is easy to hear and understand. You go through Jesus' ascension, and then Pentecost Sunday, and now here we are in this change of the season where we wear green. And where's the festivities? Well, for the children, they're out of school, so they're festive about that. Mothers, I'm sorry. Just thought I'd throw that out there. But the children are festive, but for you and me, we now enter this season in the church. Where's the festivities? Where's the grand music? And we hear this very first reading today, which is odd. It's strange. You got to look for the gospel in here. It's not Jesus hanging on the cross, dying for our sins, him walking out of a tomb for our justification. We come across a guy who's naked, who's living not in a home, but with a tomb. So he's hanging out with the dead people. We hear how crazy he is, how out of his mind he is. Is this a way to start a new part of the church season? I say absolutely. And no, wife, you cannot say I'm crazy. At least not this time. But here we enter the season. Finding Jesus and a story and event that happened just before this one that is very well known to us. This one may not be as well known. But the event that happened just before this was when Jesus calmed the storm. He was in the boat. And he has power and authority over nature. And that miracle happens. And here he just steps out of the boat. His both feet aren't even on the ground yet. And he's got people rushing towards him. How many of you have ever gone away from home for a few hours only to return, and the minute you stick your foot in the door, all you hear is, "Dad, Dad, 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 Jerry." That's the wife, if you don't know. And you walk in, they all got something to tell you. They all tell you something's wrong. And there's a whirlwind of things going on. Well, this is what's happening to Jesus. He steps off the boat and he sees this man. And he has compassion on him. He heals him. Before that, he asks, "What's your name?" He's wanting to build a relationship with this crazed man. Now, if the man was dressed in a tuxedo, bringing him some drinks, maybe some cheese on a plate, I could see Jesus wanting to be friends with him. But here's somebody completely different from him. And yet Jesus wants to know his name. And he says, "I'm Legion," which to you and me probably doesn't mean a whole lot. But back then it made a lot of sense. Because the Roman army at that time for a legion was 5,000 to 6,000 men. So here we find this poor man with many spirits of evilness inside of him. And you and I can relate to this man, can't we? He's being tormented by so many demons. Satan is throwing so much at him that he can't help but be out of his mind. And you and I, we can relate. Just go back to the last 3 years. You had your normal life. You had the stresses of job. You had your stresses of family members, relationship struggles, and then COVID hit. And then we have to struggle with, do you stay home or go out? Do you work from home? Do you go into the office? Do you wear a mask? You don't wear a mask. Get shots? Don't get a shot. So I don't have to tell you. You guys lived through it. I'm still going to put a mask on when we have communion today. So we're still in that struggle. These little things keep piling up. Now you get a 3% raise. Well, the cost of living is now 8%. There's another little thing you have to worry about. You watch TV and the news, they're going to tell you a recession is right around the corner. How many of you have lived through a recession before? You guys are old. You remember. You've been through a recession, because I have. In fact, the last time this country was like this, I ended up in the Army. In 1979, I joined the Army because there was no jobs to be found. I'm 62 now. You're not going to catch me in an Army uniform, because I can't fit in it anymore. Always somebody there to give you some moral support. But we do. All these little things keep piling up. You and I, sometimes we can face the big issues in life if it's just one being thrown at you. But here we're having multiple. And we're starting to see people with anxiety issues and depression and fear and heartache on what is happening in our lives. And that's what we concentrate on. We look at those things and we won't let go of them. But when Jesus comes to our life, just as he did this man today, things change. Things will change. For this man, from the moment Jesus entered his life and he commanded those spirits to leave and they get into some pigs and they run down a hill and they drown, this man now has a changed life. He is now at the feet of Jesus. Well, you and I have the same Jesus that comes to you and me today. Through all of our heartaches and our fears and our apprehensions and our whatever we're going through, Jesus enters into your life today again through his word, through his sacrament, through each other, as we share the love of Christ in our sorrow and in our joy. Because this whole life isn't all pain and suffering. Because you can see the love of God in Christ Jesus active in your life today through the birth of a child, through the baptism of that child, through our weddings, through graduation parties, through confirmation. There's so many things in life that are good. But we always look at the heartache and the pain and the suffering. But when Jesus comes into your life, he's going to bring a change. But the problem that you and I have with change, even when Jesus is bringing healing, is we often don't want to let go of that pain and that suffering. We do what Charles Woodson did. I got it, God. And we keep them at a distance because we don't want change. Or we're just afraid. I once heard somebody saying, or I read it, and I wish I could give credit to them because I like to do that when it's not my thoughts or coming from God. But I heard once that change happens when the pain of holding on is greater than the fear of letting go. Change will happen when the pain of holding on is greater than the fear of letting go. We all have had change in our life. Change is good. And you're going, yeah, right. There's been times we had to change jobs because we knew it was good for our family and our life. We had to change homes because it was good to move out of an area into a better area. We've all had to make changes in our life. But when it comes to Jesus, he brings you the greatest healing and change possible. See, when Jesus entered this man's life, just like when he enters your life, in faith, grab hold of what he promises. And what does he promise? That he's made you go from being a sinner to a saint. Where your life was filled with brokenness, he now brings wholeness. Where your life was filled with debauchery, he gives you his righteousness. Where there's war, he brings peace. Where there's anger and strife, he brings forgiveness. Where there is death, he brings life. That's the healing that Jesus brings to you and to me. And the best news for you and me today is he comes to us. He comes to us in the middle of our life, wherever we're at, just as he did this man. And he walks with you through whatever you're going through. The question is, are you going to walk with him? Are you going to let him walk with you where you could see and hear what he's doing for you? This man didn't have to heal himself. Jesus healed him. He heals you of all of your needs. He healed us from the greatest enemy of all. The same enemy that was attacking this man that attacks us. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. There is no darkness that can defeat me. When Jesus hung on that cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He brings you all of your needs. He defeated sin and death and Satan. And we now can walk out of here today, once again, knowing that as we put our trust and our faith in him, he is faithful. He will walk with you out these doors for the rest of the week. But this is where I step down here and I'm begging you, don't wait a week to hear him again. Open your Bibles tonight, tomorrow. Read his words of promise, his words of love, his words of mercy. How he's brought you back into the family. In a few minutes, Pastor Mark's going to read the epistle lesson to you. And I'm going to share this portion of it with you ahead of time. So hopefully when you're listening to it, in faith, you will grab hold of it. God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer slaves, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Isn't that exactly what God has done for you in Christ Jesus? He has made you sons and daughters of the living God, the one who died, who rose, who ascended, and now who we will walk with this season of green and see how Jesus heals in so many different ways until once again we celebrate his birth, his life, and his death. So this is a festive day, isn't it? And I'm not crazy. This is a time to still be festive. Because we got a God that loves us, who died for us, and who is on your side. And we don't care who's against us. Because if he is for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. To God be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord until he returns to bring you home with him. Amen.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless. My heart has peace with God and forgiveness. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all save my life. Here I bow down. Here I bow at the cross. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all.